Morning, everybody. Cold enough? So welcome to our service of Holy Communion. Today is the fourth Sunday of Advent. I've got more than a couple of notices for you. So after our service this afternoon, we have a blue Christmas service. That's at 3 o'clock here. That's a reflective service. For people who find Christmas a struggle for all sorts of reasons. So if that's you, then that's at 3 o'clock. Then we've got Lessons and Carols at Holy Trinity at 6 o'clock. Then on Christmas Eve, this is the point where you feel really sorry for the clergy. We have crib services here at 4 p.m. and at 5 p.m. at Holy Trinity. And then midnight in both churches at 11:30. And then on Christmas Day, what would have been our 8 o'clock service is now our 8:30 service, because having gone to bed at 2 o'clock the night before, 8 o'clock is a real struggle. And then at 10 o'clock on Christmas morning in both churches. Then on the following Sunday, there will be no 8 o'clock service. I don't think that applies to anybody here, but just so you know. Having got all the admin out of the way, let's take a moment of quiet to prepare ourselves for our service. So we meet this morning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. So let's stand to sing. We'll sing our first hymn, which is hymn number 1200. We stand to sing. Sit for our prayer. We say together the Collect for Purity. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. So it being the fourth Sunday of Advent, we can light the fourth of our Advent candles, leaving the Christmas Day candle till next week. So we'll do that now. Lord Jesus, Master of both the light and the darkness, send your Holy Spirit upon our preparations for Christmas. We who have so much to do and seek quiet spaces to hear your voice each day, we who are anxious over many things, look forward to your coming among us. We who are blessed in so many ways, long for the complete joy of your kingdom. We whose hearts are heavy, seek the joy of your presence. We are your people, walking in darkness, yet seeking the light. To you we say, come, Lord Jesus. Amen. A voice cries out in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord. So let us listen and turn to the Lord in penitence and faith. Heavenly Father, you call us to repent of our sins. Soften our proud and stubborn hearts. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord Jesus, you declared the forgiveness of God. Teach us to forgive one another. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Holy Spirit, you search out our hearts and show us the truth. Direct us in your way of righteousness. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Almighty God, who in Jesus Christ has given us a kingdom that cannot be destroyed, forgive you your sins. Open your eyes to God's truth. Strengthen you to do God's will and give you the joy of his kingdom. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
And the collect prayer for the fourth Sunday of Advent. God, our Redeemer, who prepared the Blessed Virgin Mary to be the mother of your Son, grant that, as she looked for his coming as our Saviour, so we may be ready to greet him when he comes again as our Judge, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The psalmist wrote these words. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Your word is a lamp to my feet, and a light for my path. May it be exactly so for us as we now hear our readings from Scripture.
The Old Testament reading is taken from the book of the prophet Micah, chapter 5, beginning to read at verse 2. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judea, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. Therefore Israel will be abandoned until the time when she who is in labor bears a son, and the rest of his brothers return to join the Israelites. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they will live securely, for then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth. And he will be our peace. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The New Testament reading is taken from the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 10, beginning to read at verse 5. Therefore, when Christ came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. With burnt offerings and sin offerings you were not pleased. Then I said, "Here I am. It is written about me in the scroll. I have come to do your will, my God." First, he said, "Sacrifices and offerings, burnt offerings and sin offerings, you did not desire, nor were you pleased with them, though they were offered in accordance with the law." Then he said, "Here I am. I have come to do your will." He sets aside the first to establish the second, and by that will we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. If you'd like to stand, we'll sing again. We'll sing our second hymn, which is 1448, "May the Mind of Christ My Saviour." The Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. Glory to you. This is the first chapter of Luke's Gospel, and we begin at verse 39. In those days Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leapt in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leapt for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." This is the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Lord, we thank you for the gift of your word. And as we think on these things, open our hearts and our minds to hear you afresh this morning. Because we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please do sit down. So the readings from Micah and Hebrews kind of feel obscure, so obscure that it's tempting to concentrate solely on Luke's beautiful story about Elizabeth and Mary. Luke is the only gospel account that makes any reference to John the Baptist before his dramatic entrance into the story as the messenger who prepares the way for Jesus. And for me, the most moving part of this story is John's willingness to be nothing more than just the messenger. We're told that John's birth is meticulously planned, in much the same way as Jesus' birth. John's parents have given up all hope of ever having the children, just like Abraham and Sarah. And again, just like Abraham and Sarah, John's father, Zechariah, is visited by an angel who announces precisely what is going to happen. Now, if you look a little bit earlier in this gospel story, you'll see that the angel really bigs up the role that John is going to play. He'll be great in the sight of the Lord. He's to be the source of gladness. He's to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. He'll have the spirit and power of Elijah, and he's to bring many of his own people back to the Lord. Notwithstanding the fact that Zechariah has now been struck completely dumb, you could perhaps forgive him and Elizabeth if they entertained, just for a second, the thought that it was their baby who might just be the promised Messiah. Whether or not they ever had any such illusions, it's clear that the baby in Elizabeth's womb had no such illusion whatsoever. The as yet unborn John, full of the Holy Spirit, just as the angel promised, leapt for joy as soon as Mary entered the room. And without a second thought, Elizabeth immediately understands her secondary role, and she calls down a special blessing on Mary. And then we hear Mary break into that powerful song that we now know as the Magnificat, the Song of Mary. Imagine the emotion Mary and Elizabeth must have been experiencing. One, pregnant at last, long after all hope had gone. And the younger one, pregnant far sooner than she had ever hoped or expected. They're women living in a patriarchal culture, but women who have been touched by God and whose lives have been named and claimed for God's salvation purposes. What must this have been like for Mary? It must have been an amazing moment when she's recognized as both faithful and obedient. After all, ever since Joseph decided not to divorce her, she would have been surrounded by suspicion, harsh words, unkind looks, and worse than that, her now swollen belly would have been seen as a symbol of her faithlessness to the covenant instead of its actual fulfillment. All this, and John dances in the womb, just like David danced before the ark, rejoicing in the presence of his Lord. Because of the children Elizabeth and Mary carry and nurture within their bodies, the entire course of history and of all creation will be changed. This is a scene from a story that will turn the world upside down and inside out. A story that will never grow old or threadbare. A story that will never cease to change people's lives and completely realign reality. This is a story of expecting and longing, and having those expectations exceeded beyond anyone's wildest dreams. And we, that's to say you and me, and all who gather in the name of Christ, are stewards of this message. A message that redraws the margins so that everyone is now included. a message so radical that it topples the powerful and the elite with tools of humility, mercy, grace, and love. The real star of Christmas. This is the star who sleeps in a manger or a feeding trough rather than striding along a red carpet. This is God in human flesh, real and tangible, who acts out for us exactly what it means to love prodigiously and to live fully. I mentioned briefly earlier that there seemed to be something of a disconnect between the Old Testament and Epistle readings and this amazing Gospel passage. However, if we try and put each of these three readings into some sort of context, what we get is much more of a long view. Here we see God carefully, slowly, patiently preparing for the revelation of his Son. In Micah, we see a prophet picking up the significance of Bethlehem. Micah probably thought that Bethlehem's task had already been completed, given that it had produced David, a great king of Israel. But then Micah is given this strange prophecy that seems to suggest that Bethlehem's task isn't quite finished after all. And the writer to the Hebrews also makes a connection with David. He quotes directly from Psalm 40, and in doing so, the author is putting words into the mouth of the Messiah that were originally spoken by David. He talks about sacrifices. Sacrifices and offerings, burnt offerings and sin offerings, all the things that were supposed back then to be part of God's plan of salvation for his people. But now we see all these as just a step on the way. All this is now to be replaced by another kind of sacrifice, one that is never to be made again, one that God performs for us, rather than one that we perform for him. When you see Jesus, the end result of God's great plan, it's easy to ignore all the steps it took to get there. But today's readings, taken as a whole, would suggest that that would be a real mistake. Because the ultimate conclusion of God's plan involved these and a whole load of other steps, too numerous to mention. You might want to think about, say, Moses leading the Exodus, David dancing before the Ark of the Lord, Elizabeth and John accepting their secondary place in the scheme of things, the obedience of Joseph, Mary believing what the Lord had said to her, and many, many more small, even unknown events in which people say yes to God. God's plan is deliberately made up of a chain of many links, each one of them fragile, each one absolutely necessary. Who knows how many times those links were broken as people rejected their place in God's plan. But know this, God is never thwarted. He never changes his plan or his methods. He simply waits and works until the chain can be mended. However, as we approach the end of 2024, it may not feel like that to you. You may say that the world feels like a troubled and uncertain place. There's the cost of living crisis, continued terrorism, the rise of extremism and racism in our own country, the impact of climate change, and tensions between some of the world's most powerful nations with the prospect of a more global conflict. I guess it could be easy to feel overwhelmed by it all. But if our readings today tell us anything at all, it's that as Christians, we can trust in the mercy and love of God, who is never thwarted. We should never be surprised at what God can do. After all, what could be more surprising than the Christmas story itself? Who would have thought that the Saviour of the world would be born into such humble circumstances? And if ever you doubt this, just think about these verses. These verses from the prophet Jeremiah. In chapter 29, we find him saying this. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." These words, spoken originally for the Israelites in exile, hold just as true for each one of us today. God has a plan for each one of us. How amazing. How amazing to think that the sovereign, eternal God of the universe and beyond has not just plans in general, but plans for you and plans for me. But if the thought of God having plans for you unsettles you, let me point you even further back to Joshua and to a verse that holds a particularly special significance for me personally. This is chapter 1 and verse 9. And it says, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." Now, I know that we're still in Advent, the final Sunday of Advent as it happens, and we're supposed to be still in meditation and preparation mode. But as we hear this special instalment in the story of God's interaction with humankind, drawing us in, lifting us up, including all of creation in the making of a new reality, where God with us, Emmanuel, breaks all the rules in order to break the chains of death and decay, I want to say to you that this is a cause for celebration. It's a reason to rejoice. God has taken the initiative. God the Lord, the Saviour, the powerful one, the holy one, the merciful one, the faithful one. So sing with Mary, rejoice with Elizabeth, lift your praise and prayers and proclaim with the prophet that God is again doing a new thing. And we, all of us, are invited to join in and are privileged to be part of it. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
If you would please all stand, we will affirm our faith before God and each other by saying together the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is, seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father, through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven and was incarnate from the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. If you'd like to sit or kneel, Jean will now lead us in our prayers.
Let us quieten ourselves in the presence of our loving God. Dear Father, as Elizabeth's baby leapt for joy at her greeting to Mary, may we leap with joy, knowing your plan and promises for us will be fulfilled, and for us coming to you in faith to be forgiven and following you in loving obedience and devotion. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
God of all, we pray once again for real and lasting change in our world. We pray for peace, an end to violence and to everything that leads to division between person and person, culture and culture, creed and creed, nation and nation, and especially for everlasting peace now in the Middle East and Ukraine, Russia. We pray for justice, an end to exploitation of so many in our world who daily face starvation, abject poverty, avoidable sickness and disease and unimaginable privations. We pray for dialogue, an end to the prejudices that prevent people coming together in love, cooperation, respect and understanding. We pray for new beginnings, an end to all that causes people to lose hope in themselves, in society, in life or in you. Help us to keep believing, though change is slow and not always for the best. We can still strive towards a better world, a brighter future for all. Though little seems to change, help us keep believing it can happen. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Father, we think today of all those having to work and be on call over the Christmas holiday to keep utilities and services running. We ask you to protect, guide and help them to do their best for their profession and country. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Lord, we thank you for our ministry team who have been taking more services than usual over the past few weeks of Advent. We ask you to help them to start winding down so they can join their families joyfully in their Christmas celebrations. We also pray for peace, hope and well-being for our families and friends as they celebrate their Christmas festivities. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Lord, although this should be a joyful time for all, we know there is sadness and pain for those very unwell, physically or mentally, those alone, for the bereaved and those recently separated or divorced. There are no easy over-the-counter solutions, but we pray for the transforming presence in the coming of the Christ child with his gift of life and hope. We especially pray at the moment for Sally's husband, Clem, who is unwell at this time and not very good. Let us take a few moments in silence, bringing to you those we know personally who will be finding this time difficult. We hope too that the blue service this afternoon will provide some peace and comfort to those that need it. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And lastly, the first verse of an Advent hymn, "Come thou long expected Jesus, born to set thy people free. From our fears and sin release us, let us find our rest in thee." Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen.
As we move into the liturgy of the sacrament, I'm now for the peace. So would you please stand? May the God of peace make you completely holy, ready for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Share with one another a sign of that peace. So as we're standing, we'll sing our next hymn, which is hymn number 154, "Hark the Glad Sound." Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Please sit on you for our Eucharistic prayer. Father, we give you thanks and praise through your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, your living Word, through whom you have created all things, who was sent by you in your great goodness to be our Saviour. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he took flesh as your Son, born of the Blessed Virgin. He lived on earth and went about among us. He opened wide his arms for us on the cross. He put an end to death by dying for us and revealed the resurrection by rising to new life. So he fulfilled your will and won for you a holy people. And now we give you thanks because in his coming the day of our deliverance has dawned, and through him you will make all things new. And he comes in power and triumph to judge the world. And so we join our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, to proclaim your glory, forever praising you and saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Lord, you are holy indeed, the source of all holiness. Grant that by the power of your Holy Spirit and according to your holy will, these gifts of bread and wine may be to us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, who in the same night that he was betrayed took bread and gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup and gave you thanks. He gave it to them, saying, Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. Praise to you, Lord Jesus. Dying, you destroyed our death. Rising, you restored our life. Lord Jesus, come in glory. And so, Father, calling to mind his death on the cross, his perfect sacrifice made once for the sins of the whole world, rejoicing in his mighty resurrection and glorious ascension, and looking for his coming in glory, we celebrate this memorial of our redemption as we offer you this, our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. We bring before you this bread and this cup, and we thank you for counting us worthy to stand in your presence and serve you. Send the Holy Spirit on your people and gather into one in your kingdom all who share this one bread and one cup, so that we, in the company of all the saints, may praise and glorify you forever, through Jesus Christ our Lord, by whom and with whom and in whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honour and glory be yours, Almighty Father, for ever and ever. Amen. Amen. And we say together the prayer which Jesus himself taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body, because we all share one bread. Jesus, Lamb of God, have mercy on us. Jesus, bearer of our sins, have mercy on us. Jesus, Redeemer of the world, grant us peace. So draw near with faith. Receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood, which he shed for you. Eat and drink in remembrance that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. The body of Christ, a gift from heaven. The blood of Christ, a gift from heaven. Thank you. We say together the prayer after communion. Father of all, we give you thanks and praise that when we were still far off, you met us in your Son and brought us home. Dying and living, he declared your love, gave us grace, and opened the gate of glory. May we who share Christ's body live his risen life. We who drink his cup bring life to others. We whom the Spirit lights give light to the world. Keep us firm in the hope you have set before us, so we and all your children shall be free, and the whole earth live to praise your name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Time now for our final hymn. So if you'd like to stand, we'll sing hymn number 520, Tell Out My Soul. Our homes with this blessing. So may the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ Jesus, establish, strengthen, and settle you in the faith, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen. Go in peace to love and to serve the Lord.